Hello, everybody. My name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman.
Hey!
And this is Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. So, Dylan, how have you been?
Good, Kenton. Have you noticed how you can see me now, and I can see you?
Yes! Yes! This is coming together lovely.
Slowly.
It's okay.
Becoming not bad.
It's great. It's great. And we haven't put out the new episode yet, so we don't want people's feedback. But the last one we talked about was about...
Oh, the billionaires.
Yes.
The billionaires who were murdered by the golems.
That's right. We'll see. We'll see what people think of that.
We got to do Golem Week.
Yes, I think we do have to do it now. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get like 5 golem stories, and then every year we'll do Golem Week.
Yeah.
Like Shark Week, but with golems.
Way cooler and more stony.
I wonder if there's a shark golem.
That'd be kind of cool. Like a megalodon kind of thing?
Relax.
Okay.
That's pretty big.
All right. Too big for stones. Okay. All right. So are you ready for tonight's story?
Yes.
All right. Cool. So tonight's story...
Do I know?
You know it. You've heard of it.
No. Oh.
But you might not know the whole thing. You might have just heard the name.
Yeah, probably. You learn lots of stuff at school, and then you're like...
And I'm sure a lot of people listening who may have clicked on it, they also just know the name. But tonight we're talking about the Wendigo.
Yep. Heard that before.
Yeah, the Wendigo. What do you know about it?
It's like, isn't there like a sound or some stuff? Like some kind of sound thing?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I know.
It makes sounds, I suppose. Yeah. All right.
It does make sounds?
Oh, everything does.
Isn't it like a whistle? You whistle, it goes away? Or you whistle, it comes.
I've heard if you whistle during the Northern Lights or at night or something.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that was probably actually from the Mystery Hunters show on YTV.
I don't even bring that up in my spiel here about the whistling. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Boom!
Yeah. Thanks, YTV, for that.
This has been Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.
Okay. Shortest
episode. Kenton, I gave you the green cup.
Does it show up on the...
Kind of, because it's like translucent a little bit. So like,
that's awesome.
But not really.
That's great. All right, so we'll talk about... So the Wendigo is kind of a cross Canada thing. They have the Wendigo up in the north. In the Arctic, they have it in the Maritimes. Have it in Ontario, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan across the prairies. Not so much in BC.
Okay.
But they have the Bigfoot out there. So maybe that's kind of like... The same thing to them. But the story is very different, but maybe the Bigfoot doesn't... Maybe it's like territorial, right. So they don't clash. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, Bigfoot's got his area, yeah.
The Wendigo has his, and they kind of just live like that, you know?
They work their own corner of thing.
Yeah, maybe that's... Honestly, the Wendigo has a lot of the corner then, if Bigfoot just gets BC, but we won't get into that right now, the territorial disputes between Wendigo and the Bigfoot.
Cool.
All right, so the story goes... on one cold winter night, a hunter became lost and slowly began to starve. As he got more and more hungry, he decided to resort to cannibalism. Okay. After feasting on another human's flesh, he then transformed into a crazed man-beast and began searching for more people to eat. This man-beast is what we now call the Wendigo.
Okay, sounds about right for a Kenton story so far.
Starts off great. Cannibalism, 5 minutes in, folks.
Boom.
Here we go. Yep.
This is the quickest we've gone to cannibalism.
Usually it takes a little while, but... All right, so this man-beast has a lot of different descriptions across the different indigenous groups that talk about him, right? I shouldn't say him, about it, them.
It.
Them, I'm not sure.
Them.
So, some describe this creature as being tall, 15 feet tall or higher, taller. Some say they're as tall as trees, okay? They say that when it eats its prey, it grows... the size of the prey that it eats. So if it eats a 200-pound man, it just grew 200 pounds bigger, okay?
Oh.
So this way, the Wendigo is always hungry, because even though it eats, it just gets bigger.
Needing more and more food.
Yes, it can never be filled. Some say the Wendigo is very fast, like superhuman speed. Some say it's kind of slow, it kind of shambles around. Both agree, though, it's a hunter. It hunts after people. It's skeletal. Its skin is very tight against its face, and its eyes are sunken into its skull. One thing, though, about it, it doesn't have antlers. You look up Wendigo on Google, you're going to see pictures of antlers. It's going to look like a moose or something. No, it doesn't look like that. Hollywood ruined it, man.
Oh, really?
It looks like a zombie.
Mm.
So you look at pictures of Wendigo, I'm like, that's not even right. And you think, that's wrong. But like, I actually went and read university documents talking about the Wendigo. And none of them mention antlers, mention animal faces, hind legs, none of that.
Mm.
I think that's the mix up between like the Scandinavian animals, like legends.
Yeah.
And the Wendigo, because they're both like northern Arctic things.
I see.
So no antlers. But everyone agrees that this Wendigo is very cold, smelly, a deathly creature.
Smelly.
Smelly. It smells.
It smells.
Because it's like it's always decaying. Because it's like a zombie kind of thing.
Oh, so it is like a zombie, Kenta.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Just not with antlers.
Yeah. Yeah. And it has a hunger for human flesh. So it's like a zombie. Or like a vampire, but smelly.
Smelly vampire.
Smelly vampire. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the Wendigo's a smelly vampire. That actually is a great description.
You should make that the title of the video.
So one other thing that they say the Wendigo can do, and I never actually came across this in any of the stories of the Wendigo, but they claim it has the ability to mimic human voices, so it can lure someone out of the civilization into the woods and then kill them there.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
That's creepy, especially if it's like, let's say, some lady, and then she just like loses her husband or vice versa, and then all of a sudden he has the voice of the husband or the lady that he just ate.
Yes.
That is the intro of a Hollywood movie. Just don't put the antlers on.
No antlers, guys. Stop with the antlers. All right. They also say that the Wendigo is very cunning. Here is a story about the Wendigo being cunning and what happened to the Wendigo. The story goes the Wendigo stole a indigenous child to eat.
Oh.
But the child was pretty thin. He didn't want to eat it like a thin kid. He wanted to fatten up a bit, right?
Yeah.
I think like the witch in the house made out of candy, whatever that story goes.
Yeah, but that Hansel kid's like
Hansel and Gretel.
Unhealthy fat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he just wanted the kid to be a little more plump before he ate him, you know? Instead of leaving the boy alone or killing the boy, he decided to travel with the boy. And they're going to be like partners and travel around and fatten the boy up, and he's going to kill him, okay?
Again. Great movie so right. far.
Yeah, it has a nice Disney aspect to it, a Wendigo and the boy.
Keanu Reeves is the Wendigo.
So every once in a while, the Wendigo would take a knife. Apparently, they can use tools, which is interesting, because I guess they're kind of zombie people.
So is there just one Wendigo, or is this a type of thing? Like you know, Bigfoot's Bigfoot, but then there's Yetis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So is this a one-off? Or is this a vampires? You know what I mean?
All right, so that is a great question. Because Wendigo, you think of it as a singular entity?
Exactly, that's exactly what I think.
But from what I've been looked up, and we'll talk about it, the Wendigo is actually anybody who resorts to maniacal cannibalism.
I see, okay. Right.
Then they go through the transformation process. So it's not just a single, like they talk about, like if you whistle in the night, a Wendigo will come. It's anyone who goes through a form of cannibalism that we'll talk about.
So instead of saying the Wendigo, say a Wendigo.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, well, a Wendigo, yeah. So this Wendigo had a knife and would cut the boy's hand to see if he had enough fat on his hand for him to eat. And he never had enough fat on him to eat. So they would carry on. Eventually, they arrived at a village. And the Wendigo said, go in the village, go get some food, go get fat, then come back here, and I'll eat you. Sweet, right? So the little boy goes into the village. He's like, hey, there's a Wendigo outside that wants to eat me. Can you guys help? And they can hear the Wendigo calling the boy from outside, you know, come back, boy. Once you eat something, come on back and we'll get carry on our way, right? So the villagers go out of the village, kind of surround the Wendigo and attack him. They hold him down, they cut off his legs, and they leave him out there to die. They go back into the village and they can still hear him. He's still calling for this boy. So after a while, and sorry to say how long, I imagine the next day or whatever, they go back out there again. He's still out there. And instead, he's eating his own legs. And he says how tasty his legs are because he's so full of fat because of all the children that he's eaten. So they kill him. And it says here, the villagers then killed the giant Wendigo. Different kind of Disney movie, I guess.
Yeah, especially if it's like Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, my legs, they taste so good.
So this is just a story, right? Okay. Don't have dates. Don't have places, right? I don't have anything to stick with this. That was just the indigenous story, right? And the creation story is also just kind of ambiguous event that occurred. Who knows at what time, right?
Right.
Okay. So now I'll actually put some dates to these because the Wendigo has been cited and Wendigo instance have been recorded several times the past couple hundred years. So we'll start off in 1633. The Innu people, they're people indigenous to Quebec. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing Innu correctly. They refer to this creature as a large unknown animal, which are believed to be devils. Okay. Which is, you know, kind of open-ended, right? And of course, there's also the confusion because they spoke their native tongue, which is translated to French, which is then translated back to English. So, you know, okay. Not really, you know, Wendigo, but okay, it's a unknown animal that's believed to be a devil. Next, in 1634, so the next year, there's an anorexic individual that is suspected of having cannibalistic behaviors, and he goes after his family. They then have to resort to putting him down or killing him. The next one occurred in 1661. This is actually more of a proper account. This is by... written in the Jesuit Relations. Now, the Jesuit Relations are a collection of works written by the Jesuits as they were kind of settling through New France and their dealings with the indigenous people and what they saw and that kind of thing. So it's an actual proper account, right? The past winter, some of the men had died under strange circumstances. They were seized with an ailment unknown to them, but not unknown to the native people. They were affected with neither lunacy, hypochondria, or frenzy, but a combination of all three. It made them have strange visions that had made them confused and made them very, very hungry, so hungry that they would turn on their own people and try to eat them, including children, women, and other men. Eventually, the Jesuits would have to put down these men. The next one occurred in 1661 during the Jesuit Relations. So the Jesuit Relations were a collection of works created by the Jesuits as they were settling through New France. Kind of talked about their time with the indigenous people, with the new world they were encountering, some of the situations they were having, that kind of thing. It's just a chronicle of their existence at that time.
Good job, Kenton.
Got through that word.
That was a hard one.
That was a hard word. So in 1661, the Jesuits were meeting up with some of the other Jesuits that they had left there the previous year, and some of them were missing. And it came down that some of them had died under suspicious circumstances. Some of them have fallen under a combination of lunacy, hypochondria, and a frenzy. But it was a combination of all of them. So these people began having hallucinations, began getting very hungry, and resorted to attacking and eating other people. They went after both children, women, and men, and ultimately the Jesuits had to put them down. And this was their own people that had to put down. It wasn't just like some indigenous person. This was Jesuits falling under this strange frenzy.
Yeah.
In both 1741 and 1742, there were two separate incidents of people resorting to cannibalism, going through this Wendigo process, and their families taking them out. So this occurred quite a few times in the 1740s. So in 1878, or maybe early 1879, Swift Runner and some of his family were out in the Arctic. Swift Runner was an indigenous man, he was with an indigenous family, and they were starving. Now, only about 25 miles away from them was a Hudson's Bay Trading Company lodge that had food, but they chose not to go there. And instead, a Swift Runner, one of his relatives, died, and he chose to resort to cannibalism to eat the body to survive. Now, normally, when someone resorts to cannibalism to survive, they just eat the body and then go find real food, right? It's kind of like that's a last resort, right? But instead of, you know, eating the body to get some kind of subsistence and then going to get real food, he went after more of his family. He ended up killing and eating 6 people.
Okay.
He would then return back to the main village and say, hey, where's your family? And they said, oh, you know, they just didn't make it. Eventually, they went out, investigated, found what had happened, and he was executed by the RCMP. Now, in the early 1900s, maybe the late 1890s, early 1900s, there was another man named Jack Fiddler. And Jack Fiddler, he and his people had a lot of problems with Wendigos. And he was actually known as, like, I want to say like a Wendigo hunter, but he is said to have killed 14 Wendigos.
That's pretty cool, though.
Right? Yeah, that's a good record.
That's a great resume.
How did you do in the past 10 years? Oh, my top thing is that I killed 14 Wendigos.
What? And that's why I want to be a secretary here.
Yeah, trying to change the pace of the Lord.
Yeah, I'm tired of killing these 15-foot monsters.
So oftentimes what would happen in this community is someone would get sick or old, and they would start feeling these cannibalistic primal urges. They'd bring in Jack Fiddler, and they would mercifully kill them before they converted into Wendigo.
Mercifully?
Mercifully. With silver bullet.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Like the werewolves. What's first?
Yes, right.
What's first?
Just like the werewolf story.
But what's first?
So I'll talk about it actually after this.
Okay, sorry.
It's all right. No, it's all good. He would mercifully kill these people before they converted. One of them happened to be his brother. And this was going along, he killed 14 of them. He was kind of known as that guy until about 1907, When 1907, the RCMP were kind of moving the area, and they heard this story and realized that we're trying to bring out Canadian law into this place, and, you know, you can't just be killing sick people. They took him and his brothers, one of his other brothers, and they put him on trial. Found them guilty. One of his brothers then, actually he killed himself, Jack killed himself, and Joseph Fiddler, his brother, then went through the whole court process and was found guilty and was also executed. So these two men, they were Wendigo hunters. That's what they did. They were other things. They were shamans. They worked in the community. They had jobs in the community, but their main thing was the Wendigo hunters. So Jack Fiddler is known quite big in the Wendigo mythology for what he did.
Right.
Okay, so I found this really great essay written about the history of Wendigos, the wording of the Wendigos, kind of where they came from. And the big thing that came up is that although there's a lot of superstition and mythology in Indigenous people prior to European contact, there wasn't anything about the Wendigo. Now, there's a cave in Ontario called the Wendigo Cave. It has like a drawing on it, but I don't think it's ever been connected that is the Wendigo, just that it has a kind of creepy little paint drawing in it. What is the Wendigo? So the idea here is that this essay kind of talked about was that the Wendigo is a form of cultural psiosis. So it's a belief in the culture of the people that if you are starving or something like that, then you resort into this thing. It's not like in Europeans, when you're starving, you don't resort to cannibalism. You might resort to cannibalism, but then you don't continue it, right? So there was, you know, there was types of cannibalism during the famine in Ireland. There's probably some cannibalism in Ukraine during their famine. But they didn't resort to this frenzy of cannibalism where you just attack living people, right? You would eat the dead ones.
Yeah.
Right. So there's lots of discussion over why is it that the indigenous people of Canada resort to this form of cannibalism, this very violent form of cannibalism, when Europeans don't. And the idea here is that prior to European contact, there were famines, right? There were famines, but there wasn't this, wasn't a famine that caused this cannibalism that would cause this massive frenzy. The idea was that when Europeans arrived and they had these frequent waves of famines from overhunting of the bison, from the disease, from, you know, Europeans just being Europeans, right? All these frequent waves and waves and waves of famine would cause these people, when they go into cannibalism, to become, I don't want to say mad, but they become like a frenzy. Like they have to find food because they don't want to die. Like it would be an extreme form of cannibalism. Now they would say that they would go through, that a spirit, a devil would take over their body. And that's what would cause this. Europeans, they did administer two people who had resorted to this form of Wendigo cannibalism to the hospitals. Many of them did not want to eat normal food, but eventually they would recover from it. So it seems to be like a temporary thing, but usually it wouldn't last long because someone would try and kill them or they'd end up killing themselves. Another idea here is in the indigenous people, if you consume an animal, you kind of take on some of those animals' traits. So let's say you're going to...
Like antlers?
Like antlers. Yeah, sure. Actually, I was going to talk about moose. So that's great. Yeah. So the idea is if you consume moose blood, you'll be able to blend more into the environment like a moose does.
Okay.
So for hunting or for military, that kind of thing. So the idea here is if you consume a person, you'll take on this trait that you are now bigger, better than that person. And then it kind of starts a snowball. If I eat another person, I'm bigger and better than that person. And you can become the biggest and better. So the idea of in Wendigo lore is if you eat something, you become bigger, right? That's why they're always hungry. It's the same idea, but more like a mental thing. Like you are now bigger than the person you just ate. You're now stronger than the person you just ate. And snowballs. So that's kind of the story of the Wendigo. It's not just, you know, the whistling at night. And it's not just a single entity. It's like a state of mind, or some should say a possession of a spirit, because of a famine-induced cannibalism. That's kind of what it is. But that's making science out of something that's not necessarily science, you know?
Right.
So what do you think of this sort of the Wendigo? You think it's real? What are your thoughts?
Well, it makes total sense that there's definitely been... I'm trying to compare it to... Like, let's say the behead... No, I was going to say the beheadings, but the beheadings, there's not really any good explanations to that one. Mm-hmm. This one could have a simple explanation, because it's not like anyone's saying... Besides the stories, it's not like there's anyone saying, I saw a 15-foot man swallow my cousin whole or whatever,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
It could just literally be Jerry ate Larry and then started eating Barry.
Yeah.
And wouldn't stop.
When I was researching this, I thought too about the Nahanni National Park and the beheadings.
Yeah.
Because it's very similar. And same with that village near the park that they said that was wiped out by something.
Right.
But that's different. They were just, their heads were just cut off. They weren't eaten.
You might have mentioned the Wendigo on that one too.
I don't remember though. I think I might have, because the stories are similar and the areas are kind of similar too. And then I got thinking about when I was in Dawson City and how in Dawson City there's a mountain that had a landslide. And the story goes that they used the landslide to wipe out a community of cannibals.
Of Wendigos.
Well, as I'm thinking, do Wendigos hunt in packs, right? You could have a colony of cannibals, but would they be the same as a Wendigo? Because they would just be, it's not that extreme. I don't know, right? Because if you're a Wendigo, you just want to consume human flesh. You're not interested in like potatoes or chickens or that kind of thing. You just want to eat flesh, human flesh. But like other famous cannibals like Jeffrey Dahmer or Hannibal Lecter, they eat other foods too besides humans, right? Wendigo seems to only eat humans.
If I was a Wendigo, I would literally just eat moose, so I would probably grow antlers.
Yeah. Maybe it's a second form of nutrients they go after. To get the antlers.
Or wolves. And then I'd be like a Wendigo wolf, and then I'll be a werewolf, and then I'll get shot with a silver bullet, and then that's where it all came from.
The silver bullet thing is very similar, and it almost seems like that was like, because they wouldn't have had silver bullets prior to European contacts. They wouldn't have guns, right? But then again, they didn't have the Wendigo before European contact. So maybe the idea of a werewolf, which is very similar, a human becoming an animal-like creature that devours other humans, being killed by a silver bullet, that is very similar. And how...
Well, all it takes is one First Nations person to tell one European person the story, and for that European person to fucking, and then the only way you could kill this thing is with a silver bullet.
Yeah,
like the werewolves, you know what I mean? Like it's like telephone.
So in my mind I'm thinking it could just be people going through cannibalism because of famines. I don't think the Wendigo is real. If anything, it's a state of mind, not a actual creature, 15 foot tall skeletal creature wandering out.
Or a good tattoo.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a Wendigo tattoo.
Yeah. Just, what did we say? Just kind of vampire? A smelly vampire.
Smelly vampire.
A smelly vampire. So this unsolved mystery is a little bit different because it's a legend. But, you know, there's people who hunted them. There's people who died because they claimed to be them. There's people that were wiped out. People, you know, a lot of things happened. The Wendigo has kind of been with Canada since the 1600s.
It's a very, like, I know the name of it. Any Canadian person would probably know the name of it.
We don't know the truth.
Don't know the truth.
So what do you think of the story, Dylan? Did you like it?
It's good. Now I am more informed. I'll probably remember this one better. Because sometimes you tell me stuff and then I just like forget. Because I have brain damage.
Well, this one I think it's something that people will remember because it resonates. Well, thank you so much, Dylan, for joining me tonight and talking about the Wendigo and cannibalism. I know you have something else to do tonight, but so I appreciate it. And thank you everyone who's tuning in to this episode of Unsolved Canadian Mysteries. As always, my name is Kenton DeYoung, and I'm sitting here with my co-host, Dylan Fairman, and this has been Unsolved Canadian Mysteries.